ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we have Ondine Sherman. She's the co-founder and managing director of Voiceless, the Animal Protection Institute. She is an author, the mum of a daughter and identical twin boys.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Andy.
Hello, Kate.
So we are back in the pod bar.
We are. We're here at night time. I said to Kate when I arrived, 2019, Mandy's back.
Yeah.
When we recorded at night all the time.
I think since 2020, we've done it during the day.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting.
That was when the lockdowns, like, it benefited. We could come during
yes,
the day.
Yes, that's right. We could.
Yeah. But we are here at night time because we're interviewing someone really fantastic. Yes, and she lives on the other side of the world.
Literally does. So we'll ask her about her weather in a minute. But for peas who care, it's a lovely warm day in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got some twilight because daylight savings hasn't ended yet.
Summer dresses.
Yes. So it's very nice. But the person that we're going to interview, actually our friend Mia, sent us her book and said you need to get in touch with this person because it's her cousin.
Yes.
So, and her name is Ondine. Yes. Hello, Ondine. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Whereabouts do you live?
I live in Israel. So, the other side of the world.
Yes.
I've been here about 10 years now.
Yes, wow. And it's your morning time?
Yes, my morning and winter. Yeah. It's a nice, cool, sunny day.
Thank you. How cold does it get in winter?
It's pretty like Sydney, actually. It's it gets kind of cold and rainy, you know, scarf and some socks and yeah, it's pretty fine. Yeah, not Europe, thankfully.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get to it. So yes. We'll ask our first question.
Yes, so our first question is, do you have a song or a band or a favourite song that either pumps you up when you need pumping up or lifts you up when you feel sad?
Oh, I'm strangely like a really fan of sad music.
Yeah.
Even when I'm happy, yeah. I listen to sad music.
Mm.
And my daughter commented that she just can't listen to my playlist anymore because it's too depressing. But
that's a teenage
daughter. Yeah. One of my favorite artists is David Gray, who has lots of sad songs.
Yes.
And I used to listen to them a lot. I don't know. It helps me feel connected to the human condition.
Yes.
And I had another thought for a song. This is actually an Australian singer, Vance Joy, I think his name is.
Yes.
And he has a couple of really sad songs that I love.
Yeah.
He's so sad music.
Yeah.
Kind of singer-songwriter. Rock folk.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question is, did you win any awards at school?
I don't actually remember winning awards. I mean, I did pretty well at school. So I think I kind of, got on stage here and there to, get certificates and stuff. Yes. But I think the only award I can remember winning was for most improved in tennis when I was in primary school.
See, awards are
funny. It was a really embarrassing award and I had to go up in front of all the boys that might have been laughing at me.
Yes.
Because my dad insisted I play tennis my entire childhood and I never really liked it or put much effort into it. But I did improve.
You did improve.
And you got noticed for that. And congratulations.
Did you go to school in Australia?
Yeah, I went in Sydney. Yeah, I was in Sydney. Yeah, I grew up in Sydney and then fell in love when I was traveling. A holiday romance that never ended with an Israeli guy.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
And our last question.
That's how I ended up here.
Yes. Our favorite question is, why are you a P?
Why are you in our tribe?
Mm.
Very special tribe. There doesn't seem to be many of us. I have identical twin boys who both have quite severe disabilities. It's a genetic condition and it's affected them both exactly the same. So the two of them are two little peas in the pod themselves.
Of course they are, which is why we started, because we were like, no one is talking about twin families like ours.
It's a different experience.
So can can you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy, and you had a toddler, your daughter, at that time?
So, we had actually just moved to Israel. We had was trying it out. We ended up moving back, but we'd moved to Israel when my daughter Jasmine was a year and a half.
Mm.
And I don't want to say accidentally got pregnant, but kind of accidentally got pregnant. And
no
then
shame
accidentally found out that it was twins.
Yes.
And, and I was, the whole system in Israel, I didn't speak really a word of Hebrew. Mm. And it was pretty challenging being in the kind of medical, world here. Mm. Most of the nurses didn't speak any English. And it was quite challenging, the whole process, and being identified as high risk because, they're identical twins. Yeah.
Mm.
And it's quite medicalized system here.
Right.
Not medicalized, just... interventionist, more of the American style, than the Australian. So constant scans and checkups and tests. Anyway, I managed to kind of get through the whole pregnancy with, a lot of, monitoring, I guess. And I was on bed rest for 4 months.
Wow.
Which was pretty full on because I had a little toddler and was in like a little apartment. So anyway, I thought that was the most challenging thing I'd have to go through.
Yes.
It was just a little intro.
Yes.
And you had, do you have any family support over there? Like your husband's family?
No, I didn't have, yeah, all my family are in Australia, a few cousins in the US, but yeah, I'm pretty much, yeah, by myself here. And my husband has kind of cousins and relatives here, but his close family are all in the US.
Right.
So, wow. Yeah, but my parents came and helped out a little bit and, and yeah, I had the boys and got the, you know, clean bill of health. Everything was looking great.
And were they too?
I started. Yeah, I made it up till 37 weeks, oh, right. Which was really good. Yes. And had a, you know, I don't want to say natural birth, but,
yep.
you know,
yep.
a birth in down the bottom.
Vaginal birth, maybe.
What's the term these days?
I don't know what the politically correct term is, but you push them out.
Vaginal birth down, the down below, the front bottom.
Yeah.
That's what my mum would say.
Yeah, my mum too.
Yeah. I was actually quite keen on a C-section because I was really scared of the whole thing. But anyway, it didn't happen. But yeah, and then, you know, it took about kind of 5 months. You know, I had the books. I had books about, you know, twins and how to make sure that they're, you know, psychology of twins. I bought a whole bunch of books too because I was worried about, you know, their, I don't know what I was worried about.
I didn't
exactly.
Attachment. Because I was like, how can I, like, be present to two babies at the same time?
Mm. Yeah.
I was very worried
so
about
that. So that was my main worry. I'm like, okay, I'm not calling them the twins and I'm not dressing them the same and all of these names.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm following the book. I mean, obviously I had Jasmine already, so I knew the kind of development stages. And in my mind, they weren't reaching their milestones because I kept saying, well, they were squished and they were small and they're boys and they everyone knows they take longer to develop.
Yes. And were they good little sleepers? So this, and
they were good, well, not great sleepers actually, but
typically.
They seemed okay. Yeah. I mean, they were a little bit kind of skinny and underdeveloped looking, but I kept thinking, well, they weren't very good at looking back. I understand now why, but they weren't good on latching on and they'd get a lot of gas and they couldn't get the suction going very well. And then, yeah, around 5 months, I went in for, you know, what I thought was a regular checkup and the nurse got me really scared, referred me to the, you know, developmental doctor and my husband was away in the US at the time seeing his family. So I went by myself to the doctor with my, with our nanny at the time helping me because I didn't think it was a big deal. And yeah, that was the shock of my life.
And was someone interpreting for you or?
It was almost not needed. I mean, she could speak Hebrew and English, but he hardly said anything. He didn't even, I don't think, make eye contact with me. He was just kind of writing his notes and he said something's wrong. And then he said it could be brain damage, it could be a disease, it could be, you know, something else. And it was just, you know, my heart
sank.
Thank
you for breaking
my heart.
Yeah.
Of course. So that was the beginning of a very long road to trying to diagnose them. It took about a year and a half. And yeah, a lot of, and that's, you know, I'm thinking what the timeline was, probably about 6 months later, we moved back to Australia because I was just like, I can't manage this all in a foreign country and I need my family and I need English speaking doctors and so on. So we moved back and we got the diagnosis just when we landed back in Australia.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
I remember in your book your husband was very instrumental in finding that diagnosis.
Him and my dad.
Yep,
your dad. Yeah, no, I was totally hands off. I was kind of in my own world of, you know,
managing.
kind of denial and just trying to, you know, manage the three little little
humans.
And and then the, you know, kind of roller coaster or the of therapies and, you know, trying to get that early intervention as soon as possible, as much as possible, and that kind of panic around that, which lasted a very long time. But yeah, him and my dad were like from that early, you know, moment of kind of 6 months, they, you know, we went and just did tests, you know, MRIs, EEGs, you know, spinal taps, blood tests, you know, saw every and any specialist. And then when we couldn't find any answer in Israel, they compiled like a kind of portfolio, medical portfolio with all the information, all the scans, even video recordings, and they started like sending it out to doctors that they could find around the world through contacts.
Incredible.
And my dad just really, he dedicated himself to this. And he ended up, we ended up finding the diagnosis through someone he had met on holiday who had, I think, donated to a hospital in the US who had put him in touch with the head of the hospital who then referred him to someone else in a laboratory in Chicago. And that's, and at that time, there were probably less than 100 diagnoses in the world. They just kind of discovered this mutation, as one calls it, a few years before. So,
and what's the name of this? What is it called?
Yeah, it's called MCT8. That's the name of the protein deficiency. Yeah, I was on the board of the kind of, we set up a foundation with a group of other mums, and it started, they started a Facebook group, and I remember you guys saying that you, your experience was pre-Facebook, so yeah, mine was too, but Facebook just started afterwards or got going afterwards, and then now we have this really big, amazing group of parents all over the world, and there's probably around 250 or 300, mostly boys, with the condition. So, yeah, a journey.
as a twin mum, did you try and engage with any twin groups? Because I know we didn't really. How did that feel?
No. I felt, and I kind of still feel, which kind of sucks when I see other twins, you know, running around and it kind of, especially identical twins, it kind of is a bit of a still a piercing in my heart.
Of course.
So, yeah, I found it hard. So it was, a very lonely journey at the start. I couldn't really find any support groups or I tried one, but it didn't feel good, and and then I ended up through our therapy center in Sydney meeting a couple of other mums, which was really good. Yeah, it's good to feel connected. You know, as the years have gone by, I've been more and more connected, which is really important.
Important. And so, when the boys were little, were they in like early intervention or did they go to kinder or?
Yeah, so we did a bunch of different things. They, you know, we had a really intense therapy program. We probably had, you know, they had probably about, let's say two therapies a day, every day, kind of 6 days a week. And we tried to get everyone to come to the house at the beginning. We'd, you know, I'd drive them around. And but I think that, you know, one of the benefits of twins is it's kind of like two for one with the therapist. So it could be like, well, it's a double appointment. You know, maybe you can come to us.
And I quite liked a home visit because I thought, I don't know.
This is us. This is us.
And then I didn't have to battle getting there.
It kind of contextualizes. And this also is how for we them. Live. Like, So, yeah, we had, you know, help at home. And then when, well, we did a daycare in Sydney for a little while. They each went like two mornings a week, but on different days.
Right.
And that was nice. They're really sweet there. It was probably a bit more work for me than not having them in daycare, yes. just the amount of driving and picking yes. up and kind of, you know, communication around it. But yep. I was happy that they were out in the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, the problem was when, you know, it was kind of time to start school and we couldn't find anywhere, and we actually hired a kind of like a home school teacher.
Right.
And we did that for a year, and then they started in a school in Sydney, and yeah, we were just really unhappy with the situation at the school, and it just felt horrible. And kind of that's when we did a trip to Israel. I mean, Dror, my husband, was always keen to move back here, but I wasn't so keen. Yeah. But we did a trip back to kind of scope out what are the schools like, what are the services like, and it just felt like an easier fit for us here, strangely enough.
And how did you feel?
This was before the NDIS, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It was just the lobbying was just starting then, which I was really excited about because I was like, this system is so broken and so dysfunctional and just really sad.
And they'll need it forever and you'll need that forever too. Yeah. It looks bleak.
Yeah, terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you packed
up. Sorry, Kate.
Oh, I was just like, how did you feel leaving all your family? Because they were obviously your support emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough packing up again and because we'd already moved like twice by that point, you know, with our dogs and the, you know, like there and back and two dogs as well. And our one dog was really kind of old and sick and the vet wouldn't sign off on him flying. And so we did like a goodbye photo shoot with him.
Oh.
But then, sorry, this is a tangent, but we did actually get him over to Israel.
Wow.
Through a loophole in the system and he was fine for another year.
Oh. So
it was okay.
Well, we're part of your family.
Yeah.
So, but it was really heartbroken, breaking, and my parents were really heartbroken.
Yes.
But I kind of was like, I couldn't send them back to that school.
Yes.
And I just didn't feel like, and I was like, well, am I going to homeschool them?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. It felt like we should give Israel a chance, you know, like just come and see if it works better. And yeah, they ended up in a really lovely school here that they've been in ever since.
Right.
And that's a, a huge relief, you know.
Can you tell us a little bit about the difference of the schools then from here to there?
So in Sydney, well, it was a like a combined all different kinds of disabilities, so like severe autism, and there weren't that many kids who were in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. Like my boys weren't in wheelchairs yet, but they were, you know, not mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them in different classes, and the one class, he was the only one who was not mobile.
Right.
So, and the teacher, it was... trying to think what, I mean, that wasn't the main issue. I think the big difference is that here they had the therapists in the school as part of the staff.
Oh, huge.
And huge. Like in Sydney, we would have been able to get once every 2 weeks some kind of therapy.
Oh.
Yep. And it just was like, that's not early intervention. No. You know, that's just like made me really panicky. And the teachers, I think because there was the mix of mobile and kids in wheelchairs, it didn't feel like the teachers were managing at that school.
Tricky.
With such diverse disabilities. And the school here, you know, all the kids are pretty much in wheelchairs and they're all using alternative communication. Yes. So my boys aren't verbal. They use a computer to communicate.
Yes.
And so, you know, the staff and the therapists then learn all those systems and they know how to communicate through those systems to the kids.
Yep.
So all the kids are using different kinds of communication systems. And then they've got, you know, the speech therapists and everybody who are specialists in that.
Yeah.
So it just seemed more organized, more functional, more supportive.
And did you have to live in a zone, or was it like you could, like, was it tricky to get into the school or?
So yeah, we chose where we lived according to according to that school. So we came and did a little look-see, and then we got all those pieces in place before we moved.
I think sometimes your heart when you walk into a school or not knows.
Yeah. We actually kind of got teary when we came to Israel. We saw two schools, and both of them, we were just like, oh, such a relief, you know?
Yes.
Everyone was calm and like positive and smiling. And it just didn't feel like that in the schools in Sydney. It felt like kind of crisis all the time.
Right.
And the people were lovely. It wasn't their fault. No, it was just the system.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And anything like, and you, everyone, or I know you hesitate to say, well, this is easier too.
Yeah.
Because then you feel, I felt guilty for choosing the easier option.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just, I guess one of the things that maybe people don't realize is that, you know, we've got these kids with really high needs and special needs, but it's also the whole family that has to be healthy, you know, and the sibling and or siblings and, you know, the relationship between the parents and, you know, I wanted to be able to work. Yes. You know, I didn't want to be full-time at home forevermore schooling my kids. Yes. Like, I mean, I'd do it if I had to, but that wasn't what I was hoping for. And I probably wouldn't have been very good at it, to be honest. I mean, it's just.
Well, some people, it's their thing.
Yeah,
and they're very good at it.
Yeah.
I am not.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
We learned that.
We learned it during the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rubbish at it.
How did Jasmine go moving?
It was quite tough on her. I think now that she's older, she's communicated it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, at the time she was very like, well, you know, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So she was 8 when we moved back, and she'd spoken a bit of Hebrew with Dror. Dror always tried to speak Hebrew with her at home, but because she started school in Australia and was there until kind of end of year 3, and you know, I'd speak English to her and everybody else would speak English to her. So she kind of landed back here with a pretty basic knowledge of Hebrew, and then was kind of thrown into the local public school and didn't know what the, you know, heck was happening, you know, sitting through math lessons.
Oh,
and
imagine.
So they did give her extra support, and we had a, you know, Hebrew tutor at home.
Wow.
But I think it was a bit, you know, it was pretty tough. Everyone had said like, oh, she's so young. She'll like,
she'll
pick it up in a few months and be happy as Larry and it'll all be good. But it wasn't quite as easy and breezy as that. It was, But now she's totally bilingual.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, what a great
threw in the deep end, and she ended up swimming. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gary, who does our Bean episodes, always asks to tell us about your child. Tell us about the boys. Tell us their names. Tell us what they love to do.
They're sweeties. They're 16 now, and they're quite different. Dov is kind of a more kind of quiet and a bit more chilled, kind of even keel type personality. He loves music and he loves, watching YouTube videos of musicians playing. And I have a guitar at home that I don't play very well, but we kind of, he can strum on the, and kind of participate. And he also loves drawing. He's you know, it's hard for him to kind of hold and manipulate, you know, pens and paints, but he just loves kind of like moving the pen and paints around on the page. He can do that for hours, really.
He's
mixing paints together.
Oh.
And Lev is more Lev actually means heart in Hebrew, and he's kind of true to his name. He's much more emotionally expressive, so he kind of has his anger fits and then his laughing fits and his, you know, highs and lows, and very expressive. Right. And he's more of a people person, so he loves being around people and meeting new people. And you know, with his computer, he'll kind of name everybody in the family and look around and kind of say hi to everybody, you know, and... Yeah.
You can't get enough of that.
They're lovely. Yeah, they're sweeties.
Oh, I can imagine they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And teenagers.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's 18 now, so she's kind of finished. Well, I would say finished, but she's, I've survived the,
the teenage
years. I got through. And Dov and Lev, they are a bit moodier.
Yeah, are they?
But, I think they're a little, and also just kind of growing up emotionally in the sense of, you know, they used to be much more attached to me, and now, you know, I can come in the room and they're like, go back to their, you know, show that they're watching or.
Yes.
So that's nice.
I'm happy.
And less, being sort of less dependent, you're like,
yeah.
You should care less about me.
Yeah.
I didn't care less about my parents.
It's and they have their own relationships with other people.
Yes.
Like Lev was kind of in love with one of his teachers. Was very sweet, and Dom has a kind of a girlfriend in class or a girl he really, you know, smiles every time you say her name.
And it's magic, actually.
So, yeah.
You can't get enough of that stuff. Oh, gorgeous.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And so is your house all easily
modified
or do you, like does Israel help pay for that? Do you have like an NDIS?
Yeah, so the it is kind of already a scheme, I guess, in Israel. I mean, I guess it's an easier place in a sense to kind of coordinate the bureaucracy because it's only one, there's no states, one national system. And the disability system is, I mean, you know, people here obviously think it needs a lot of improvement and kind of quite shocked when I tell them that it's better here than it was in Australia. It covers, let me think what it gives you. Like we have help at home through a kind of system of assistance is foreign workers who are in Israel on visas to help with the elderly and people with disabilities. And then you get government support to help pay for those people. So that's a huge, huge help. I think also for, you know, older people who need help at home. And yeah, they help you with car, like we've got a double van, wheelchair, car. So we got support for that. And there is home modification support as well. We're actually hoping to build a house that's all accessible and designed from
really
scratch.
It has to be the way, actually.
We renovated our place and put in a lift and ramps and everything, but it's you know, it's not I mean, it's great, but it's not, I would love them to be able to access everything. Easily and have all one level, ideally.
That would be perfect.
And
that's the reality in that the P community is always thinking of the future.
It's funny because I think I talked in my book about trying to train myself to stop worrying about the future and planning and thinking about it. And that worked for a long time. But now I'm like back in future planning, but I'm trying not to come from a place of anxiety, but from a place of like, like how can we make this as smooth and and even thinking about what happens after school finishes.
Which is
my husband's been involved. Well, actually, the school here goes till 21. The special needs schools go to 21, which is great. And kind of every area, well, not every area, some areas have kind of day centers for people with disabilities afterwards, but our area didn't. So a group of parents in our kind of neighborhood have been working with the city council and, you know, trying to progress that. So there's a good quality place for them to go every day and have, you know, activities and
meaningful
and hopefully therapies and you know,
and enjoy going.
And not be isolated also.
That's right.
Because that's, So, yeah, so some future planning has to happen.
I think that's definitely happening in my head and I was always like, I'm not going to worry about that till then, but it's time.
And what about you? Like, do you work? Do you, like, what do you do with your days?
Well, it's kind of in the last, I would say, 7 years, I've managed to kind of get back into my own, you know, life and career. Once the boys were settled and we had all the support and I really loved writing my book on my journey with Dov and Lev.
Yeah.
We couldn't put it down.
We consumed it.
Yes.
Oh, you thank you.
You did a beautiful job.
Yeah, you really did.
Thanks. I let it all out.
Yes.
Well, shared all. Hung up my laundry.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, okay.
It's good laundry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of found that, you know, as well as it being, you know, kind of therapeutic and really good for connecting with others, I actually just really love the writing process and the kind of creative process. And so I ended up, writing, well, I've written four more books since then. I've done a series for young adults connected back to animals, which is my passion. And also a book about a guide to going vegan, which is connected back to my, you know, organization. And still been going with Voiceless, which is the organization I set up with my father, who passed away a few months ago. So, so we started that 18 years ago. So that's been a continued thing in my life, although I've had ups and downs with, you know, years that I've
had other things
done more or less with it.
What an amazing journey to have had with your dad. Like, I had an incredibly close relationship with my father, which means that the pain of him dying was really, really terrible because I loved him so much and we spoke every day and we worked together. But I also think the flip side of that was I got to know him like as an adult and we got to be friends and share passions. And I think even though the pain is terrible, it's a gift because I know friends of mine don't have that with their parents, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the double-edged sword.
Yeah. No, I feel the same. It's been a very, very painful loss. And I never realized, you know, when other people had lost loved ones, like what, because they, you know, I guess the word grief is used sometimes, you know, with our kids and everything, but that's a totally different kettle of fish.
It needs to be another word.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like grief for me with Dove and Love. It felt like fear and stress and love and, you know, protection.
Do I need to protect them? How is the world going to treat them?
Becoming like a tiger mama.
Yeah, and we always talk about there's an extra level of love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the devotion and then anger. You know, I had a lot of anger at the system, at people, at like, you know, our society failing.
Yeah.
Failing us in these ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a different experience.
It is. Yeah. It is a different experience. And so, for those of us who I've never been to Israel, although I was brought up a Seventh-day Adventist, so we celebrated the Jewish Sabbath as a child and learned a lot about Israel. All of my friends went to Israel because no one else did Sabbath, you know, so it was like this country you could go to that sort of had, you know.
Yes.
Well, we copied you. That's what we did. but, like, what's it like living in Israel as an Australian?
Oh, it's been its own journey.
Yeah,
I've never really written about that, so I probably don't know if I should. won't enter into those chocolate infested waters.
No. Just living in any country, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Israel. I mean, the kind of pros and cons, just I guess if you take politics out of it, but just the kind of lived daily experience, it's a very vibrant country. People are very warm, very talkative, very loud, very outgoing, and you know, it's kind of 24-hour, you know, cafes and lots of, it feels very safe for kids and for women. Like your kids can walk home from school by themselves and you know, as a woman, you can kind of wander around the city streets at night and not feel, you know, worried. So it has that kind of like quite a community feel that everybody feels like if they don't know you, they will know their cousin will know your cousin and it's your cousin type thing. So it's this kind of tribal. So that's kind of was a different, you know, I'm kind of quite a quiet, you know, more of an introverted person, so I kind of found it's not that much like respect for personal space on the negative side. So you know, especially when I was pregnant, actually I was like growling at people. It's like everyone was like in my space touching me. Interfering with, you know, how you raise your kids, like, they're too hot, they're too cold, they should sit up, they should go to sleep, you know, do this, don't do that. But it's, I mean, I feel like in relation to Dov and Lev, it's there's less awkwardness or that feeling of taboo.
Right.
Like people will just come up to them and, you know, I don't know, people will like try and give them sweets and snacks in the neighborhood, you know, out of good intention.
Yes.
Whereas in Sydney, I felt like it was very like, oh, don't look, don't go, don't talk, just keep in your lane and don't engage. On that side, I really like the culture here, that it's more engaged, which I feel like with our family is nicer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess living in a non-English speaking country has been the biggest challenge and just being geographically so far away from Australia.
Yeah.
I just wish, you know, I kept saying in the early days, I wish I could like drag the continents closer together. So I could just, you know, easily hop back and forth because, I'm in Australia, you know, I've been kind of twice a year for the last 10 years and it's quite a journey, especially during, you know, COVID times.
How did you go? Because so we were
hard. I did twice
over here.
Hotel quarantine. Which deserves its own book.
Yes, it does. 14 days times two.
Yeah, with those little meals getting delivered.
Wow.
It was quite an experience. Getting greeted, you know, from the aeroplane door by the Australian Army.
Oh, yeah, you're like, where am I?
Police.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello.
So not Australian. No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It was quite funny. But
were you worried about the boys with COVID? Are they prone to being sick?
Yeah, we were a bit worried about them just because they're, you know, not so sturdy. Yeah. You know, they just feel a little bit less. But they both got COVID and, you know, and were fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was a relief. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. The Israel kept, it was very chaotic here. Like, it is a very chaotic country, but, you know, with COVID, it kept its chaos going. And so, like, every week almost they changed their minds if things were open, closed, open, closed. And he wouldn't know until the last minute.
Is it open?
Especially the schools. It was just like the parents were going crazy. It was like you didn't know if your school was going, your kid was going back to school the next week. And then a group, I think, of special needs parents just did this lobbying effort at the government and just said, you cannot keep closing the special needs schools. Like, you have to keep them open. And so they did, although it was, you know, every, you know, the staff all in masks and in capsules and very specifically controlled. But I think it kept everyone protected until the, you know, vaccines, what was the last mutation called? Oh, I've lost track. Oh, but anyway, until a lighter mutation came about, and that's when the boys got sick. So it wasn't that early, really severe one, thankfully.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, super scary.
Yeah.
So do you still come back twice a year?
Yeah. I still, yeah, it's
the whole family.
Kind of like
you?
I have two homes.
Yeah.
Well, not always. Sometimes just me.
Yeah.
Jasmine's, about to, it's compulsory army service in Israel.
Right. Yeah.
Men, boys and girls. Yep. So she's about to start. Wow. And that means she won't be able to be my little mini me on all my trips anymore. Because we'd
How
often
long's that
fly
for?
The two of us. 2 years for girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Will you see her?
Yeah.
During that time, or
I think for the unit she's ending up in, she'll be kind of 9 days on base and 5 days at home.
Okay,
so that sounds
that's
you know manageable,
right. Yeah,
which is a relief.
Yeah.
So but another big change.
Yeah,
change in the family.
Yeah.
Miss her.
You will miss her.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's been home almost nonstop, like because she finished school in June, and before that with COVID,
and
doing so much, you know, Zoom and distance learning, that it feels like she's been at home for a good 3 years.
And I remember before that I was thinking I feel like in some sense the girls are moving on a little bit, and then the world shut down. I was like, I'm going to just remember that.
We've got some time together.
Yeah.
That was the really nice outcome.
Yeah. Quality time and quantity time.
So you said to me you're possibly going to be re-publishing your book. Is that right?
I'm a little bit like in a, not sure what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The publisher is kind of going through some changes. I'm not sure if it's happening or not.
Right.
Can our listeners still buy it?
So I think people can still buy it. And I did want to say it sounds a bit strange, but I've got like a big stack of books here in my office.
Okay.
Right.
And honest to goodness, if anybody can't find it and would like it, I'm very happy just to post it to them, because there's no point me having a box of books that nobody's reading.
Yes.
And the whole point of the book was
to read it.
You know, help support people and,
you
know, have people be able to share in some way.
Yes.
So if anybody wants one, please contact me and I'll put it. I mean, it may take a while because the postal service doesn't work so well here, but eventually it will arrive at
Australia. Australia Post isn't that great anymore either. So it's always exciting. Oh, when did I order this?
I think there's always twin mums coming
Same.
All the time.
Yep.
There's always new women that need to hear the women that have gone before them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's important for people to read your book.
Yeah, we'll put all of it in the
I'm
show
hoping
notes.
It will end up getting republished because I wrote an update.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, I might just post that up anyway.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll put everything 10 years now. In the show notes, everywhere people can find you, all your other books, your work.
Thank you. Yeah.
We could talk to you forever, but is there anything we've missed that you would like to tell the peas that are listening?
I would just like to say, that if anybody, I guess, is going through this process and they're at the beginning, that it feels really tough, but things do get better and time passes and there's so much love so much, like amazing people you meet and it sounds kind of cheesy to say it, but I feel like there's so much kind of darkness and pessimism that you get from other people during those early years from doctors and the community that it's such a tragedy and how terrible and you poor thing. Mm. And it doesn't help find the light. And I wish more people had said to me, it's going to be okay because it is going to be okay.
Yes. And love, like the name of your book, The Miracle of Love, love wins.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's the most important thing. And just because someone's different doesn't mean that, mean anything.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Actually, our most precious humans. Our most precious humans.
Yeah.
And if everybody looked at our precious humans like that,
yeah,
the world would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, celebrate them.
Yes.
And, let's embrace them and include them. Yes. And
definitely.
You are doing that. It sounds like Israel does that beautifully. And thank you so much for giving your time to us tonight, today.
Oh, well, thank you today, so much. Tonight.
it's lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
We've messaged and, it's really terrific to meet you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ondine.
Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
We will. If we ever get to Israel, we'll pop in.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
So many places to go.
We'll more likely be my children who are exploring the world.
Oh, thank you. Oh, she was so lovely.
She was so lovely. And Peasy didn't get to hear the gorgeous chat we had at the end.
Oh, no. We couldn't hang up from her.
No, we just wanted to keep chatting.
Yes. So. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Ondine. Yes, it was so lovely to spend time with you.
It really was.
And we really want to know, what's it like being Mia's cousin?
Yeah. Feel free to send us a message.
No, we're teasing.
Mia is the best support of the Peas ever.
That's right. Yeah, we love her. And
we do.
It was great.
Yeah.
She sent us your book,
Yes, she did straight away. She was like, you're going to love my cousin.
Yes.
So, and she was right. We did.
She was right.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Gorgeous.
What made you cry this week, Mandy?
I just had a big cry.
Yep.
About some tricky things.
Yep.
Yep. Look, nothing specific.
No, but, they're quite cathartic, those cries.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of them and you're
get it all out.
Yeah, I'm tired now and I feel a bit of relief.
I know.
Yeah, it's come out.
Yep.
It's coming out of me like lava.
Yep.
Like Bridesmaids.
I love that movie.
And the sound engineer said to me, just regular sad or is there something? I was like, no, just regular sad. He's like, okay, all right. He just walks off like, do I need to care? No.
Well, that's kind.
Yeah, it is kind.
Good job, mate.
I also, I've been sorting things out like, what if I have to downsize, blah, blah. And I found like the little booklet that Jessie Mack, which is where my twins ended up in special care, gave to parents to give to people.
Oh.
And I was like, I never gave.
What do you mean?
Like to give to our families and friends when you have a child in special care.
Or,
but I didn't even give it to anyone. And I found their box of their tiny dummies and all that stuff. So, of course you cry because it's beautiful.
I know, it is beautiful.
And a little photo of, Woody when he was born and you can just see his little bum hole because he had no bum cheeks. And
you're
look at that little bum hole.
Tiny.
And I can look back now and laugh and cry. Like, I'm like, wow, that's taken a long time for those of you who have small babies. So you will get there.
Yes.
But, in the booklet it's like, your friend may be teary. You may be teary.
Your friend is just gone. gone.
Your friend is more than teary.
Mandy is out.
Yes. So I was like, this booklet is crap. Maybe that's why I didn't ever
get
hand
the
it
24 pack of toilet paper. Yeah. They were worried about tissues. My friends could all write a book about that, Mandy.
Yeah, teary. Yeah, well, there's a little
maybe
bit
I don't
more
really
than that.
Want to read that.
No, maybe not.
No. Okay.
Anyway, what made about, a difference?
Oh, I've been listening to podcasts. So
yes, I've been getting back into them.
Yeah, I have too. Mm. But I've been enjoying It's a Sign, which is a listener, and it's your star sign in the morning. Oh, it just talks about stars.
I think I would like this.
Yeah, and it just goes for a minute.
Because I'm really into my CoStar, my little app.
It goes for a minute. So yesterday she said, okay, something's happening with something. I can't remember why.
Yeah, something
but you need
in
to be really clear on your communication today.
Okay.
And I was like, that's helpful. Yeah. And I thought, and then in the afternoon, you need to do this and this. Oh. And I was like, wow.
If someone's going to tell me what to do at the moment, I will take it.
I can take a minute every day.
Do they have an ad?
No.
Nice.
I can't remember.
Okay, because a minute, you can't get access.
It is literally a minute to 2 minutes. She's with Listener, so they obviously pay her to do it, right?
Right, right. Okay.
I listened to We Can Do Hard Things. And she had an episode on hypervigilance and activation.
Right.
It was hypervigilance and loss was the discussion. And her sister, who she calls sister, but her name's Amanda, was talking about her first relationship that broke down. But then it morphed into being on high alert, as we would call it. But they were talking about hypervigilance and being activated all the time.
Right.
And I was walking around Aldi thinking, I'm activated
this is me.
At this place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm rushing. I'm always rushing. You know,
I
feel highly activated all the time.
Yes.
So I sent him a speak pipe.
Ah!
So I don't know.
Well, if anyone hears, let us know and we will play
it. If you hear it, let us know. Yeah. But I did that in the Aldi car park at Croydon.
Well, you have to do it immediately when it grabs you.
I had to do it right then.
And that's actually, I will give that advice to Pease because if you don't, you don't.
No, that's right. So I just sat in there.
Yeah.
And they have the pod phone, but only for Americans. So I conveniently did a voice memo and sent it in an email and said, I can't ring your phone.
Yes.
So if you want overseas voices, get the one-star speak pipe.
Yeah,
but no.
Get the one-star speak pipe. It's 7 stars for us as far as I'm concerned.
And the other one I went back to listen to, Terrible Thanks for Asking, and she had the author of the woman who's got a book, How to Keep House While Drowning. And I thought I really needed that
what
book.
What a great title.
Yeah, and so she's on TikTok. Her name's Casey something.
Yeah, okay. That's
anyway,
okay.
Terrible Thanks for Asking, and it was just really, I thought that was me.
Yeah.
And she talks about it's not a moral failing to have a messy house.
No, it's really important to hear.
Yeah, so it's not a moral thing.
And I think
it is just overwhelming.
No shade on my mum. None. Because my mum is kind to her core. But she doesn't like.
No.
I feel like I'm failing if my house isn't tidy.
But I was drowning.
Yeah, and actually it doesn't matter.
Well, she just points it out.
Yeah.
This is not a moral dilemma.
Yes.
You're not a good person or a bad person.
No.
You're either overwhelmed or and she talked about the 5 bits of mess in your house. Laundry, rubbish,
paperwork. No.
Stuff that doesn't have a place to belong, stuff that has a place to belong, and one more,
which you can't remember. But Mandy will remember that at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I will. I'm going to remember it.
And she'll send us a speak pipe.
But it was helpful.
We'll edit it in.
I found it helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought if you're in the early days, you've got twins, you've got children with disabilities.
Or if you're going through a crisis.
Yes,
like
that's
I know that when my marriage broke up, I was like, I can't do this actually. And my new partner's like, I can see pockets of where you are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like you were managing this, but then this, you're like, I can't do it.
Of course.
And I was like, I just couldn't.
Of course.
So probably I was more gentle on myself because I wasn't young.
Yes.
But, then you're like, okay, you know what? It stays. You can go back and do it another time.
Yeah,
or like I got my best friend to help me do my wardrobe.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Let someone else come and help me.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of people helping me.
Yeah, big fan. And I'm happy to go help too.
Yeah, same.
Okay. So my make a difference is my niece Leah, who I don't see very often. She lives in New South Wales. She sends me funny TikToks. It's our whole relationship.
Awesome.
That's it. There's nothing.
Awesome.
I mean, there's much more to it. I love her.
Yeah.
But I just feel like she doesn't listen to this podcast, but like she'll just be like, this one got me. And then I'm like, we've got this similar.
Fun.
And I love it. I'm like,
it's family.
Yeah. It's really nice. So that's my difference. Just someone sending me a funny TikTok.
Yeah.
Yep.
The best.
Yep.
Okay. My laugh, I've got 2.
Yep.
One is that Miss 12 is in year 7 and they've got a music program at her school.
Yep.
And so I brought out my flute and I said, well, we have one. So it's easy to carry.
Yeah. Very easy to carry.
You know, because
fit in your bag.
Millie tried to learn the cello.
Yes,
now,
of
that's
course.
Not
biggest
easy.
Instrument. No.
So I thought, oh well, she'll be able to just use it, right? And then
no.
I thought, oh, it's pretty old.
When was the last time it got serviced?
So anyway, never. So I went down to the local music shop, and the guy was so funny. He was like, I said, oh, I'm pretty sure you don't sell flutes in here. And he's like, yep, I'm pretty sure we don't either. Anyway, I said, go to this woodwind wizard place in Hawthorne or something. And I was like, okay, I'm not driving
there.
It's
out of my postcode.
So I rang them and I said, oh, hi, look, my daughter's going to hopefully learn the flute. And so mine's from 1989. And like, is it worth fixing? And he just goes, no.
No.
And I just was so embarrassed.
I know.
But I thought actually it could work.
You've got to get new pads on
it. I know.
Well,
I was happy to do that.
Yes.
But he's like, trust me, they're not that expensive. And the other laugh was, Darren, we were all in the kitchen and I don't even know what Darren said, but Molly walked away and she said, he's a big man with big ambitions.
Sounds like it's the end of a Survivor rap or something.
And he's not big. He's smaller than
me.
He's not
big.
I said, he's not a big man with big ambitions. Anyway, we've been saying it all week. Every time he'll say something, I'll say, well, you're a
big
man
with
big
ambitions. He can have it as his bio.
It's given us so much joy. I don't know where she came with
that. Who cares? It's gold. We love it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I've been we were at the dentist, Buzz, Woody and myself. And the dentist is, they're nice now, dentists.
Yes,
you know,
they
they've
are.
Got TVs on the roof and everyone speaks quietly.
Yeah.
And it's not the horrific experience that
no,
I went through
same.
As a child. Anyway, because I, honest to God, would rather have a pap smear than go to the dentist.
Yeah. It's scary. Last year I had a lot.
You did. That's right.
Awful.
It was horrific. So anyway, we're at the dentist and it's got this piped music that's quite calm.
Yep.
Anyway, so Buzz is having some work done. My children have premature children teeth.
Yep.
And we've had a lot of teeth issues. And I won't be shamed or judged.
No.
Anyway, so he's having some work done and Woody's sitting next to me and he goes, it's a real good thing they've got that really nice music. And then he just makes all the noises of the I was crying. Literal tears were dropping. I was like, true. You can't even hear this music over these horrific So horrific might be an exaggeration.
Yeah, oh no.
But we both laughed a lot.
Oh, yes.
I was like,
the best.
This music is just put Bon Jovi on.
Yeah.
Just be done with it. There's nothing calm.
A bit of Whitesnake.
Yes.
Like something, you know, hardcore.
Yeah,
because I've had AirPods in last year just trying to, in those root canals.
Yes.
And nothing helped.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, yeah, and well, I had like a, what's it called? Fake tooth in. And I was like, I just listened to a podcast, but I was like, you can't
escape.
Same,
but
escape.
Now I can't listen to that one. I'm post-traumatic stress.
You can't escape the teeth.
No.
You can't escape. It's in your head.
I know.
But anyway, I was just,
funny.
I was like, yes, it's, I don't know why, but I think, you know, you're just sitting there and you're trying to be quiet.
Yes.
And then he just makes this observation.
He's a big man with big ambitions.
Big man with big ambitions. All right, peace.
Dear.
Thank you for listening.
Let us know what you thought about this episode.
Yes.
Reach out to Ondine
build
if you would like one
up.
Of her books. Yes, build
she's
her
She's a beautiful
up.
Human.
She
and
is.
Yeah.
That's right. Support her. Buy her
good
books.
Things. Yeah.
And if you're an animal activist,
yes,
vegan
yep.
she's your woman.
She really is. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See
and
you, everyone.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.